Welcome to Sensible Health Solutions, the show where we simplify health and wellness. Join your hosts, Haley Fields and Dr. Scott Looper, as they share practical tips and expert insight to help you navigate common ailments, nutrition, and overall well-being. Tune in for straightforward advice that empowers you to live a healthier life.
Good morning, Dr. Looper.
Good morning, Haley. How are you doing?
Good. Good, good, good.
Are you happy?
You know, for the most part, I would say yes. I would say I generally try to focus on what I'm grateful for. And
well, I will tell you, you're in the minority, because most people feel a sense of dread as they go through their day. Not everybody. There's happy people, for sure. But as a nation, our level of unhappiness is really the highest it's ever been.
Well, it's so easy in today's day and age of technology, where we have access to absolutely the worst case scenarios possible. And that is exactly what the media is trying to present to us to keep us on the hook. Because if we're aware of every single threat out there, then we're prepared.
Yeah, we have an instinct for this. We want to be ready. You know what we want to do is we want to feel safe. We want to have some sense of control. And the fact is to some extent we do. And that's the good news. We actually do. There's all kinds of decisions we can make. In fact, most of the decisions we make have a major impact on the quality of our life. So in reality, we have lots of control. Except it doesn't feel that way because we live in this society. We live in this world where there's, you know, thousands or millions or billions, depending on what size you're looking at the unit. And there's a lot of stuff going on that we don't have control over. All kinds of things we don't have control over. Lots of stuff we don't have control over. So when I was a kid, what we were worried about was nuclear annihilation. We were worried about pollution. We were worried about
overpopulation.
Overpopulation. Later on, it was peak oil. I mean, there's a bunch of stuff.
And it's so funny to see that even now, those are similar concerns, except we're not worried about overpopulation. We're worried about underpopulation.
Isn't that weird? When did that happen? This thing is overpopulation is going to ruin our planet, ruin our lives. This is an existential threat. And now a conversation I had recently was, you know, really worried about underpopulation. We need more people to come and fill up our neighborhoods. There's too many, you know, places
to take care of our community members. Yeah. That is the responsibility of the younger generation. My generation is looking at who's going to be taking care of us. There aren't enough young people to take care of how many millennials there are. So,
yeah, so population.
Your generation, we've got you. My generation, however, we're going to be the blind leading the blind.
Well, I don't want this show to be on elder care necessarily, but really it is an issue. I mean, this is kind of, talk about a threat. That's kind of a real threat. This is a real threat. Because you get older, you got nobody to take care of you, and you got no money. You are in a jam.
I have seen it countless times.
People get weaker as they get older.
Yep.
They fall down and can't get back up.
Yeah. They can't remember.
Who's going to help you up?
They can't drive. They don't have it
now,
with it anymore.
Okay, well, this is a happiness conversation. This is not unhappiness.
So
we want to dig too deep here.
So knowing all of these things that are coming down the pipe for our generation, for our planet, how do we take it back and really develop that happiness?
Okay, so there it is. That's the question right there. That's the one. How do we have agency? How do we make decisions that really do make an impact on our lives? And the answer is, that's the only agency we have, is the agency to choose for ourselves. There's things that no one can choose for us, and there's things we only can choose. That's where it is. So you weren't worried about pollution, then you start worrying about what you can do about not making pollution. You
weren't
worried about overpopulation, you can worry about how you not have kids. I mean, those are decisions you can make. You can't make decisions for people in China. You can't make decisions for people down the street.
Correct.
You can't make decisions for people in your family.
Right. You can only control you yourself.
Your
surrounding bubble.
Anything else is an illusion, and you're going to bump up against the fact that you don't actually have control. Your kids can do whatever they want. I mean, you can talk to them about it. You can have an influence on it. You can have a conversation. You can get them to buy in. There's all that, but you can't make them do anything. You just can't.
I think that over the next few episodes, we should continue to focus on how to create these little bubbles of happiness.
Yeah.
So that these little bubbles of happiness individually can overlap with our friends, with our families, with our neighbors. And the more little bubbles of happiness that we have overlapping, the greater collective bubble of happiness there is.
That's doable. That's a realistic goal. That's not, pie in the sky. Maybe if we squint hard, we can see it. No. This is something that not only we can do, we should do, and we are doing in our ways, wherever we're at. All of us are making decisions to try to increase the amount of, good feelings we have. There's lots of ways to do this. Some of them are short-sighted, and they end up crashing and burning. You know, you drink enough alcohol, and you get happy, right? How's our happiness project is done.
Yeah, that is a shortcut, easy way.
Nope.
Some instances, alcohol is actually a depressant, so.
Yep. Nope, bad idea.
Doesn't really work.
Tried that.
Yeah.
doesn't work.
Doesn't work.
It's a waste of time. Don't do it.
So now, what are actual effective ways to make yourself healthy? You, as a naturopath, focus a lot on diet. You focus a lot on food, which is preventative for a lot of ailments, including anxiety, including
depression. Not as a naturopath. As a human being who lives on the planet Earth, that's really the position I'm coming from, because we're looking at reality here. You want reality? Reality is you put crap in your body, you're going to feel like crap. And you put good food in your body, and the chances of you feeling good goes way up. Doesn't go to 100% because there's a lot of things to consider here, but it goes to 0%. There ain't no chance if you don't put good food in your body. It's a basic building block. You don't have the right building blocks, you can't build.
Yeah, I learned a quote many years ago. It said, whatever you're eating is either feeding or fighting disease. And that has stuck with me since.
Yeah, that's a good way to say it, for sure. Okay, so let's talk about food and how to get food to go better for you. And this is a big conversation, and a lot of our listeners are coming at this from different positions. I mean, they just are, not a lot of them. They all are. Because some people are excellent cooks. And some people have a very good sense of what kind of nutrients are to bring in. And other people, they're living on pizza pockets that they microwave because
and
they like them.
Of people
they're tasty.
Don't have many resources. A lot of the fear that is going around in society is a lack of resources and a lack of money. And groceries are astronomical.
The funny thing is good food. I'm not talking, gourmet, fancy schmancy stuff.
Yeah.
I'm just talking basic good food is cheap. It's really just about never been cheaper. It is for the percentage that people have to pay in terms of how much money they make as a nation, food is at a small point. So we got some flexibility right now, more than we have before. Now, there's certain people in certain situations who are really struggling trying to find food. That's always going to be that case.
I would disagree. I would argue, because coming from a single-income family, when I go to the store and I buy meat, I can't afford it. It is insanely expensive to ensure that I have enough protein in my day and my daughter has enough protein.
Yeah, you're right. The price of meat's really gone up a lot.
Meat is astronomical.
It has. The tariffs are pushing it up to some extent. Just, the modern situation, the cost of doing business is pushing it up as well.
Mm-hmm.
Inflation is a real thing.
Yep.
It really is.
Yep.
Yeah, without a doubt. So we want to think about economy, but we want to think about the basics. That's the best part of our show, is to do the basics. So here's the basics. In order for you to feel right, you got to have some basic nutrients coming in. And here they are. Here's a short list. You need to have proteins somehow or other. Plant proteins or animal proteins, some kind of protein. You need to have nutrients. Those are like vitamins,
minerals.
A, B, C, D, right, that kind of thing. You need to have minerals. There's some basic stuff you need to get coming in. That basic stuff is concentrated in vegetables and fruit. That's where they are in nature. That we're designed to go eat vegetables and fruit. We have a knack for it. We can digest vegetables and fruit better than a lot of other animals. We're just good at it. We're omnivores. So this is a good thing for us. Also, carbohydrates, grains, and concentrated carbohydrates are tasty and delicious. And our bodies are designed to reward us when we do good.
Yep.
If we do a good job, we get that feeling, wow, I feel good because I did a good job. And so if you can go find some kind of concentrated carbohydrate in nature, you did a good job. And so our instincts are really designed to help us succeed. Unfortunately, those instincts have been co-opted. Food manufacturers have figured out ways to give us that hit of happiness without actually giving us the goods.
Right. They give us little Debbies and
Yeah, so chips.
Egos.
Chips are fabulous. Chips are a combination of carbohydrates.
Salts, fats.
Yeah, salt and fat. You get the three hits right there.
Ooh.
And now you hit it out of the park. Mm-hmm. And your brain lights up like amazing, like it's drugs.
Yeah.
It does. It really does. There's this fabulous happiness that comes. And when you're young and you're strong and you can burn through just about anything, you can eat a bag of chips and you do fine. And it doesn't make you sick. Maybe a little tired, but not sick by any means. But you do a lifestyle doing things like that. What happens is you just literally come up short of the nutrients because they're not there.
Mm-hmm.
They're just not there. They've been stripped away. The bran, which is where, if you go into grain, is where the nutrients are concentrated. The bran, by the way, is the primitive plant.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if primitive is the right word. It's the teeny little plant that's inside. So a seed is a combination of stored food and a teeny plant. And over the plant grow, the little plant has to grow to a big plant. And it sucks up the food from those seed, you know, things, the little areas where the calories are stored, till eventually it gets big enough and gets enough leaves going where it could do its own job. It just sucks it in from sunlight or, you know, however it gets the nutrients that it needs to get. But it needs a head start because otherwise it can't compete. And so what we're doing is we're eating those stored nutrients because they're tasty and delicious. The plant doesn't necessarily need them. We need them. And the problem is that plant, that little plant, that's where all the nutrients are. So if anything was going to go rotten, that's where it's going to start. It's going to start with that little teeny germ.
Mm.
That's what they call it, the germ.
Mm-hmm.
The germ is where the bugs want to go because that's where the nutrients are. And they need those nutrients just like we do. So if you want to save, you know, that thing for later, not have it go rancid, you got to take that out.
Okay.
So the germ has to be removed. Otherwise, the whole thing just goes bad.
Mm.
Now, if you're going to eat it right now, you can just eat it, go for it. And it's just chock-a-block full of nutrition. And then, wahoo, I feel good. That good feeling you get, it's legit. You actually did do good. You got some nutrients that are going to build you up. And your happiness is going to go up because you're eating stuff that's actually making you a better person. Except for that is rare. I mean, how many times you eat grain that you go pick from the field, right? That still has a germ in it. Never.
Never.
I mean, people do, farmers maybe. But even then, they go to the grocery store and buy Oreos like everybody else, right?
Right.
Oreos don't have any germ in them. They just don't. They could put them in there. They'd spoil.
Right.
They have to be manufactured in such a way that they don't spoil. So you have to remove nutrients to keep the bugs from eating them.
And add preservatives.
Yeah, and add preservatives. It makes it harder to digest. So the quality of food just went down. Now, again, food manufacturers are clever about how they do this. As long as you put in plenty of carbs, plenty of fat, plenty of salt, you're good. You're in like Flint. Everybody's going to like it.
Yep. Those are the
no
key elements.
Tasty and delicious.
Yeah.
So what you need to do is find stuff there that's got nutrients in it, and that's it. So now, it's different for different people. Some people are really good at cooking, and so they don't have to worry about the cooking thing, but a lot of people don't cook. More and more people don't cook. So it might be that the way to get happy is to cook.
Is to learn how to cook.
Yeah, to learn how to cook. And it turns out it's a thing you can learn how to do.
Yeah, I mean, anybody can learn anything with YouTube University these days.
Yes.
And so many of our viewers are learning from our conversations here.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, and you don't even need that many to cook that many things. All you just need to do is cook a few things. And those are really good and tasty, delicious.
Gotta
and you
learn
just
how
rotate
to cook your
through.
Meats. Got to learn how to cook your veggies.
Yeah. So at my house, one of the mainstays is spaghetti. Because I grew up with spaghetti. Spaghetti was a thing. You pour the jar on the noodles and you had instant
what
food.
What kind of noodles do you use?
The noodles I use personally? Oh, geez, that's a big question.
Yeah.
It's called broccoli.
Okay, okay, okay.
I had to give up on noodles.
We switched over to chickpea noodles.
We do too.
Yep.
Christy, my lovely wife, she eats chickpea noodles. She likes them best. Mm-hmm. And then Patrick will eat, my little boy, he'll eat anything. Maybe basically what you ever give him. He's a carb kid. He loves carbs. Like so many kids, sorry, he just wants carbs.
Is so does my girl. She's spaghetti is her favorite dish.
They're living close to the ground, right? Their instincts have a very powerful influence on their
and
decisions.
Their metabolisms can handle it.
Yeah, and they're young and they're strong and they're designed to be able to deal with carbs more than adults are. And so for me, I went kicking and screaming. I had to give up noodles because noodles are bad for my blood sugars. They made me fat. They made me tired. They made me feel bad.
And what about chickpea noodles?
Yeah, those are better.
Because you get a little source of protein.
Yeah, this protein's higher. If you get more protein, more fiber, then the blood sugar rise goes down. Mm-hmm. So you're right. That's a higher quality food. There's chickpea noodles. There's other kinds of noodles as well. Noodles made with stuff that's got more fiber and more bran in it. By the way, you can put the bran back in, mm-hmm. or have not taken it out to begin with. There's ways to do workarounds. Again, I don't want to dive too deep in the show. I'm going to keep the conversation more broad. Here's a broad conversation. In order to feel right, you need to find protein, not necessarily steak, but some kind of protein. So there's protein in vegetables as well. Beans have protein in it. Grains have protein in it. Even vegetables, to some extent, have a teeny bit of protein. Not that much, but a little bit. These we're looking at amino acids. So if you can find a combination of foods that get you your basic nutrients, and don't run away from fat. Fat is something that we need. Now, we live in Alaska, and so it's cold outside right now. What is it, zero, something like that? And
it's relatively warm.
Which is relatively warm for
year,
us, right?
Yeah.
Anyways, we need our bodies have to burn more calories with the shock of the cold. It triggers our metabolism
and
go up.
And it targets our fat.
Yes, and so we need the fat. If we eat the fat, then it makes us happy, makes us feel good. Our bodies recognize that that is something we actually need and use. So now the question is, what kind of fat are you going to take in? The answer is, it needs to be a high-quality fat.
High quality,
if it's rancid fat or fat that
fat.
Goes bad, you get that trans fat stuff. It's horrible, but it's getting harder to find out because everybody's figured out how bad it is. What we do mostly is do a combination of either olive oil, which is tasty and delicious.
Avocado oil.
Right. Another decent one, though the flavor's not as good. It's more bland, in my opinion. Still, it's high-quality oil. Or coconut oil. Coconut oil is particularly good. It ends up building up cholesterol, which is another whole show, like cholesterol.
And we've talked about cholesterol in the past.
We love cholesterol. Cholesterol is a measure of health.
Yes.
Now, admittedly, it can pile up and go bad, particularly if you get...
Everything in moderation, but higher levels show
people
longevity.
People tend to be happier. Let me just say that. If you got a higher cholesterol, you tend to be happier.
So if you eat more fat, you're happier.
Yep. Your mood goes up. Yeah, trip. It's subtle, but it's not that subtle.
So I'm thinking of tangible ways to incorporate healthy fats into your diet. Standardly, you can add nuts, pistachios, cashews, mixed nuts. A little bit does go a long way.
The thing about nuts is you need to get them fresh. Because nuts are super dense, and they're packaged very nicely. Nature packages them very well, because nature doesn't want them to rot or to go bad, because then you can't grow the plant.
What do you mean fresh nuts? Like, can you get a bag of mixed nuts?
No, okay, it's fresh. Here's the question. How do you get fresh nuts? What you want to do is you want to eat them the year they were grown.
Oh,
now you get nuts that are 2 years old, and then the chance of them going bad is high.
Okay.
And usually you can tell because they don't taste right.
Yeah.
They're harder, they're wrinkly, they're funny, they're wrong, they taste weird, like that. This is on my mind because I found an old bag of almonds that was buried under some other stuff in the pantry. Dug them out and thought, oh, almonds. Popped a few in my mouth and thought, nope.
Not those are old. Okay, so nuts.
Now my wife has almonds in the refrigerator. It's like crazy because they don't need to be refrigerated. They're fine. But she's scarred from this bad almond experience.
So
fresh nuts. And here's the thing. If you get them in the shells, they keep better. Of course they do because they have their own packaging around them. But if they're shelled, they still tend to keep pretty good. They still got skins on them. And there's defensive mechanisms that the plants make to keep them fresh. So it turns out to be a high-quality source of protein and oils and carbohydrates. Mm-hmm. You think, what, nuts? Nuts don't have carbs? Yeah, they do.
Yeah, they do.
Yes, they do. They do have carbs. And those carbs are tasty and delicious. So it turns out to be a high quality food. So high quality, in fact, if you eat a whole lot of them, there's a real good chance you're going to get fat.
The serving size of
fat and happy
cashews is like 7 cashews. And same with pistachios. It's not a lot. You don't need a lot. And it's very easy to overindulge.
Yep.
Another good source of fats, in my opinion, might be yogurt. But I know that some people have dietary restrictions against dairy.
It depends on what kind of yogurt you're going to get. More and more, yogurt is not a good food. And I hate to tell you that because yogurt is a fabulous food.
My yogurt is plain Greek.
Then you're doing the right thing.
I love it. Yeah, it makes me so happy. When I eat it, I get the little buzzing feeling in my body of the happiness chemicals. I really do.
I know, me too. That's a staple. Mm-hmm. I eat it every day.
Mm-hmm.
I do. It turns out it's one of the things that just does feeds me.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel good when I eat it. The problem is trying to find one that's got enough fat in it. And then lots of them have the fat taken out.
Yep.
And so now you need to find a way to get fat back in. Fat's problematic too, dairy fat especially, because if the cows get into any kind of spray,
right
or something, whatever badness is out there, it tends to be fat soluble. It tends to be concentrated in the cow, because the cow eats a bunch of grass, and you spray the grass, heaven forbid, and then it concentrates in the cow, and the body doesn't want to hold on to these toxic things. So what it does is makes it and dumps it in the milk. Now, it also doesn't want to tox out the little baby cow.
Right.
So it doesn't put a whole lot in the milk. So it's not horrible. It's not a poisonous food. But you get enough toxins going on, and now they concentrate into the fat. And then we concentrate that fat into cream or butter or something like that. And you're getting a lot. So the organic thing, if you ever really want to get your biggest bang for your buck for organic, it's organic fats.
Organic fats. That's
what you want to do. Mm-hmm. You get organic onions, who cares? Because onions are under the ground anyway, and it doesn't make that much of a difference. The amount of stuff that they have on them is negligible, you know, sometimes not even detectable. You don't have to necessarily grow them organic and have them come up with no spray on them or no anything whatsoever. Fats, on the other hand, they're concentrated.
Okay.
There is a higher concentration of problem with fats. So the organic fats really are worth it. Now, they're also horrendously expensive. They're double the price of the other stuff because people know this is the good stuff.
So recently, at the beginning of this month, I went down to Texas for a weekend. And while I was there, I tried raw milk.
Oh, no kidding.
And it was I'm not a milk person. But that was the most delicious milk that I had ever had in my life.
Yeah, but isn't it greasy? The oil floats to the top. You have to mix it and then drink it fast. Otherwise, it
separates. It was in a jug, and I didn't see a separation of it.
Was it skim milk?
No, it was regular.
Full fat?
Full fat, raw, from a cow, on a farm, right down my friend's street.
Yeah, I'm a weird guy because I actually grew up on that.
Oh my God, it's so good.
Yeah, we had a dairy just down the farm, and we'd go down to the dairy and get milk from
and
the dairy direct.
Down there, it's like $5 a gallon. Up here, you want to get some raw, unfiltered milk, and it's like $20 a gallon.
Yeah, it's also, you run the risk of getting poisoned. Eventually, you will, because milk is tasty and delicious. The bugs love it. And unless the operations run really, really, really clean, and they are, and they are mostly, the chances you picking up some kind of bug goes up. It's not 100%, but again, you make a lifetime of doing this. At some point, you're going to get some bad.
Yeah, at some point, you're going to get sick, but also you're strengthening your immune system while you consume it.
That's right. Yes, you are. You are, in fact.
Mm-hmm.
You know, milk's a problem food because as a species, we're really not supposed to drink it after we're little babies. But we have figured out how to do this.
By pasteurization.
Well, no, not pasteurization, just by trial and error. There are people who have a knack for being able to process dairy. B blood type.
Oh.
B blood type people have a knack for doing dairy. O blood type tends not to do it very well. They'll have a lot of problems. Chances of being lactose intolerant is really high. Now, if you're in northern European populations, we figured this out a long time ago and kind of weeded out all the weak ones. If you're in a tropical population, if your ancestors came from the tropics, pretty much you're screwed. You can't do regular milk. It just makes you sick.
Yeah.
And so billions of people on the planet Earth can't do milk. But in the subpopulation of Northern Europeans, like you and I, mm-hmm. we have the look, right? This is where yeah. our ancestors came from, Northern Europe. We tolerate milk fine. So we can do this yogurt thing, and it turns out to be this health food for us. Milk is more of a problem. But a lot of people who can't handle milk can actually handle yogurt. Not everybody. Mm-hmm. Some people who can't handle milk can't handle yogurt or butter either. I married one of those people.
Yep.
But the most people who have a hard time with dairy who can actually can do yogurt. Yogurt's processed enough by the bacteria to make it easier to digest, and you do better for it. But even then, those people are in a minority. The vast majority of people on the planet, who I imagine some of them are, you know, watch this. We have to be careful not to recommend milk, because those people, it is not a good food for them. Now, if you can do milk, it turns out to be fabulous. Now, here's why. Because grass, we can't eat.
Oh.
But you can turn grass into calories.
Yeah.
By running it through a cow.
Right. And all those micronutrients.
And the grass comes free. It just grows.
Yeah.
It's just grown out there anyways, right? So you get a cow and have them eat all the grass that you can't eat. And then you milk. And then suddenly you got food. And you just got to be able to drink it and not get diarrhea. Well, our ancestors were highly motivated to do this and figured it out. Thank goodness for that. Because now, you know, generations and generations and generations later, the ones who know how to deal with milk and process it, we tended to make more babies.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's more of us around. We're kind of taking over the planet. Well, not exactly whole planet, but... you know, pieces of it.
Sure. So, okay, I think we've covered fats pretty well. Now, proteins?
What? Yeah, proteins. Okay, high-quality proteins. Here's the thing about protein. How much time do we have left?
Good question. I don't have a clock on.
I think we're at the end of the show, actually.
Okay.
Yeah. I think what we need to do is pick this up again later, because we've used all our time up.
All right, wonderful. Good internal clock, Dr. Looper.
Thanks, Haley. Let's do this again sometime.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Sensible Health Solutions. We hope you found today's discussion enlightening and packed with practical tips to enhance your wellness journey. Remember, small changes can lead to big results. If you enjoyed the episode, don't forget to subscribe and leave us a review on your favorite podcast platform. Your feedback helps us bring you the best content possible. Stay connected with us on social media for more health insights and updates. You can find us at Sensible Health Solutions across all social platforms. Until next time, stay sensible and stay healthy. This content is for informational purposes only and is not a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Seek medical advice from a healthcare professional for any medical conditions.